Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, with Katie Sanito, the gourmet goddess. All right. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Just to start off, why don't we just go ahead and tell me about you as a person?
Me as a person. Well, I'm pretty social. I enjoy meeting new people, talking with new people, sharing food with new people, and just overall really enjoy spending time with my close friends and having a good time.
Northwest Indiana?
Yes. I grew up in Griffith, actually. Okay. And then after college, lived in the city in Chicago for about 8 or 9 years, and then came back. And
you got sucked back in.
Got sucked back in. I didn't think I would. I told my mom I'm never coming back, and here I am. But I'm currently in Munster now.
Cool. So then let's jump right into the gourmet goddess.
Okay.
Tell me when it started, driving factor to get it started, anything you want to tell me about.
Okay.
About why.
Well, let's see. September will be year five, the start of year five.
Okay.
And I was just at a point in my career, my non-culinary career as a pharmacy benefit management account manager. Very boring. but I did that for about 13 years, and that's what I did right out of college. 2 weeks after graduation, I started doing that and spent a number of years there. And I was just ready to move on. Our company was getting bought, and I didn't really want to continue within the organization in one of two roles that I could be in. And so it was just time to make the change. And with the support of my husband saying, yep, you know what, let's go ahead, go for it, you know, chop off the guaranteed paycheck and let's see what happens.
Well, and sometimes that little push is all you need to,
right,
to do something.
Yeah, it's like I didn't want to take client calls anymore and I was tired of traveling, and it just was kind of right place, right time. And I was in a good position, you know, financially to be able to get things paid off and cut back on expenses to go the questionable paycheck route. See if I get any work out of what I want to do and make a living at it. And so far, it's been really good.
So at that five-year point, like, what was the business model? What were you doing at that beginning stages?
I'll back up a little bit and say I did go to culinary school while I was working full-time in my other work. Like to entertain a lot of my fellow coworkers. We were the same age. We were single. Like, we've all seen each other get married and have kids, but we hung out a lot, and I would have them over quite a bit because I liked to be the one entertaining and cooking. And so they sort of put the bug in my ear, like, why are you even doing this sort of work? Why aren't you in doing something food related? And my great grandfather was a chef and had a restaurant in the city ages ago. But as a child, you know, a young kid,
right,
visiting grandma and grandpa, learning how to cook things he made in the restaurant, and then just being from an Italian family, you know, food is everything. So there was all of those factors that sort of surrounded me as in terms of entertaining and cooking for people all the time. And then I threw the culinary school part on top of it because I'm a perfectionist, and I thought, well, you know, I know I can cook, but let's make sure I'm doing things the right way and can do better. So I did that, and had always thought at that stage in my life when I was single that I would go on to maybe recreate my grandfather's restaurant and have that again. But then I got married and had a kid and life sort of happened, and I thought, well, the restaurant thing may not quite fit what's happening here. But it really became less about having a physical space in a restaurant, but more about just sharing good food experiences with people. And, you know, I view my service and what I do somewhat as a luxury in a way, because, you know, no one has to hire me, but people always have occasions to celebrate and people need to eat. And so I can fulfill that. So
food will never go out of style.
Food will never go out of style. And good food will never go out of style. And on top of that, I provide a very comprehensive service in that when people hire me for their events, they actually get to enjoy their party, their company, what's happening. And a lot of people like the sound of that. And they like being able to do that when it's right. You know, I'm not the right fit for every occasion that people need food for something, But it's the special ones. It's the baby showers, the bridal showers, the retirement parties, the 50th birthday, you know, all of those big things where there's that one time you really want to enjoy yourself in your own house. So that's what people call me for.
Parties are stressful.
They are. It's hard to entertain, and it's hard to entertain well. And some people like the aspect of getting their house ready and having all of the foo-foo stuff, but then when it comes to deciding on the food, either picking the food up or cooking the food, serving it, making sure things stay nice and clean and everyone has a full drink, that's stressful because you don't want to split your time between trying to visit with somebody and doing all of that.
Right. So why don't you actually take a step back and tell us exactly like what you do. So I call you and I'm having a party, and like walk me through what you offer, what you do, and how it would go.
Okay. So I have sit down dinner party type of get togethers that people can call me for. And I do dinners for two people. I've got a lot of situations where people gift that to each other for an anniversary or a birthday, and I'll do a nice romantic dinner for two, or sometimes up to 10 or 12, however many you can sit at your table. But most common I get are just sort of those casual cocktail parties. You want to have 10, 12, sometimes maybe 20 people over, and you just want to have a good time and chat, and it's real laid back in terms of people aren't formally sitting down. There isn't a course dinner, but it's a lot of heavy appetizers, and they're good, they're fresh. And I stay there so that everything is served in a way that it's not just everything's out on the table at once and it sits there for a couple of hours, but it's all fulfilled regularly and everyone gets, you know, a hot sandwich if we're doing like a hearty sandwich, a panini or a beef tenderloin sandwich. Those are always popular, or whatever it is that I'm making. But I also view myself as an extension of the host or hostess in a way too, because people always want to know what's going on in the kitchen, no matter what, even if it's me and they don't know me, but people gather around the kitchen and they're kind of, what are you doing? And so then I can help take the pressure off the hostess for a little bit, to help entertain a couple of people at a time while they're asking me what's going on and they're visiting with somebody else. Focus on the smaller, more intimate groups. So like I said, I'll do a dinner for two, and I've done cocktail parties for up to say 50, 60. And I never thought I would do that many people before when I first started, because I thought there's no way I can handle that. It's just me. But I found ways to make that work and not compromise any quality and still offer great food and service. And I have a great gal that works for me that helps serve for me, or she's my bartender when I need it. So I have a bartender if somebody wants that level of service on top of it. So I stay in that smaller mid-range size. I definitely tell people, if you want a catered dinner for 200, you don't call me. That's not what I do. Because there are bigger, you know, caterers and entities that will execute that much better than I will.
And so it's you and one other person mainly?
Mainly. Okay. I do all of the grocery shopping, all of the prep, all of the cooking. And then when I'm on site, depending on size of the party, I have a server and or bartender if need be. It's just really a small, small operation.
So as far as the cooking goes, are you cooking at the location or are you cooking off-site, bringing it to the location?
Little bit of both.
Okay.
When it's a sit-down dinner, most of the prep, and I say kind of like the messy prep, the chopping, the, you know, cleaning and getting everything ready, I do at home. And then I take that and whatever I need with me to my client's home, and then I finish the meal and serve it there all, you know, fresh and just like you're in a restaurant, but you get to be in the comfort of your own home and you don't pay the restaurant price on the wine either. A lot of people like that. But I also, I do all of the cleanup, which people love, because then I leave and it's like,
nice.
I was never there. Sometimes it's cleaner than when I got there. So people really enjoy that aspect, that they can entertain and have a good time, and then there's nothing for them really to do afterwards.
So do you have a busy time of year when it, like, it's crazy for you?
Yeah. I've tried to keep track over the last 5 years as to what's my busy season. What's, you know, 1 year I'm busy March, April, May. The next year I wasn't. I was busy other months. But hands down, holiday time, no matter what, is busy. And I always encourage people, if you are the type to always have a holiday party of some sort and you need or want help this year, book me early, because there's just me.
Just one of you.
Just me. And there's only so many weekends in December. So I don't have a second team that goes out, you know. And that's the other thing, too. People ask, you know, well, you know, hire more people or do this or do that. And I've thought about it. You know, I don't want to get so big that and not that I necessarily would, but I feel in a way people, they're hiring me as well as what I cook and the service I provide. But I wouldn't feel right sending somebody who wasn't me as the gourmet goddess to take care of a party. And so I guess maybe that's a little bit of the perfectionist and maybe the type A personality going on, but it's worked so far. So
I mean, it really is about what your end goal is. If you don't want to scale, then you don't want to scale.
No,
to that level,
I don't. So. I mean, you know, I have a 7-year-old son. I want to be able to see him grow up and be a part of what's going on with him. And right now it's challenging sometimes. You know, I have the luxury of being able to work at home, and summer break's been really tough because, you know, even though I am home, I have to work sometimes, and that stinks for him, but at least we're together and we're hanging out. So it's okay. And he helps me every now and again. He helps count things for me and sort things.
Yeah. So 7th grade, 2nd grade or 7-year-old
going into 2nd grade. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you're in Munster?
I am.
Yeah. So does he like school?
He does. He's actually over at another small local business education station right now doing a little kind of like, you know, summer school prep for 2nd grade.
I know I have a 10-year-old, and I know that he was out of school for like a week, and he was like, I'm bored.
Oh, that's, yeah. Like, really? You're bored? Let's get some worksheets. And they certainly find something to do really quickly.
Yeah. So obviously the cooking, passionate about, how has the business side of things been, like organizing the business or?
Well, fortunately, and I would recommend this for anybody looking to start their own business that has a great idea, something that they're passionate about, get some business background. I went to IU Business School, and that's where I started my, you know, working career in business, and I was in account management and had client relationship, you know, opportunities to work on skills and project management. I was a project manager for a long time. So a lot of that background really, I think, has helped me be able to be successful on somewhat of being kind of on the fly. You know, I'm running a house. I'm, you know, have a 7-year-old trying to run and grow a business and everything else. And it's being able to kind of juggle all that and wear lots of hats. But the business background I had certainly helped, just being able to do basic, you know,
definitely
balance sheets and making sure I'm, you know, business is actually paying for itself and I'm not digging a hole.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds silly, but
especially when it's a passionate thing like that.
Right. Because you're willing to be like, oh, yeah, let me get this and buy that. And, you know, have to back up and say, wait, does this make sense? Do I really need this or not? You know, am I continuing to be profitable? So, my business school background and then my actual culinary school background and kind of looking at some of those business things from a chef's perspective. So all of that has been helpful.
Yeah. I think that a lot of business people, when they start with, especially when it's something they're passionate about, they just, I'm passionate about it and
it'll all work out.
I'll
figure it out.
Yeah, right. So going back to the culinary school, so you were actually working and you just decided, hey, I think I'm going to start culinary school?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little nuts. I thought, well, okay, I'm single, so I don't have other things competing for my time other than just what I personally want to do. And luckily living and working in the city and having access to a number of school options, I thought, okay, I might as well go for it because I may never get the opportunity again. So I went to school part-time for a little over 2 years, and part-time really was, to some people, probably full-time, but I was working full-time, traveling, and then part-time for school was depending on the course I was taking at the time, but if I was doing an actual cooking course versus maybe like a sanitation class, let's say, it was 3 nights a week, 5 to 10. So it was pretty.
So you put in some hours.
I put in some hours and leaving work early. And for a while, I kind of didn't tell anybody because I thought, okay, this isn't like I'm going to grad school for an MBA in business. I'm not doing something that's going to further my career in my company. It's going to, I'm going to leave someday.
Right.
but everyone was pretty supportive, especially when I brought in a lot of food.
Yeah. The samples.
Right. The baking and pastry semester, everyone really loved it when I showed up to work the next morning after class.
So when you started the school, did you actually have something in mind? You said the restaurant, was that just a a distant dream, or were you really considering
that? No, that was really what I was going to go for. I really thought that's what where things would lead at some stage. I didn't necessarily know how quickly after I graduated school it would happen, but that was always my plan. Like, I never meant to stay at the job I was at, because when I entered the work world, it was nice. I mean, jobs were plentiful, and it wasn't as difficult to find a good paying job out of school. But people, you know, they stayed at their first job maybe 3-4 years and then went on to something else. And I never had another other job other than the one I started at after school. I stayed there until I left and started Gourmet Goddess. So it was a good company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded like you moved up in within
I
the
did.
Company
and
too,
and so. I'm very grateful for that opportunity, because I made a lot of good friends who are my colleagues who have since left the company and have become clients. But were also really supportive of me while I was in school. And, you know, financially, I was able to pay for school because of that job. So
yeah.
I was got to thank them for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's another business mistake some people make. They're like, okay, I'm going to start something and I'm going to quit my day job like right now and just go do it. And versus having that bank.
Right.
And that,
right.
that
yeah.
ability
I mean,
to
that
go out and
be,
do it. There's a big difference between being prepared to quit your job and go do it because you've already started doing stuff versus I'm just going to go do it. And then,
I mean, that's gutsy. And sometimes people who are really big risk takers, it works out for them because they can handle that level of uncertainty and stress. Me, not so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I prepared for at least a good year in advance, you know, putting money away, paying things off, feeling at least like I didn't, and I also didn't want, even though my husband was incredibly supportive and was like, okay, you know what, go for it. Why not? I mean, I had a baby at home. I mean, I was doing this with, okay, we have a child to support, but I also didn't want to leave my job and also put the entire burden on my husband's shoulder. So I was trying to be as responsible as possible.
Yeah. So as, the preparing and cooking, like how much back time do you spend? And I guess it depends on how many people there are, but how much time outside of the actual event do you spend getting ready for stuff?
Oh yeah, it depends. Like for example, this past Saturday, so coming up on a week ago, I did food for a 90th birthday party. And it was an open house kind of deal, but I stayed and did all my full service. And there we were expecting about 60-ish people. At least I prepared food for about 60 people. And so I was actually – and I usually get to the event an hour before people start or plan to start showing up to get everything ready, because I never like to be in the midst of anything while people are walking in. I'm, wanting to be ready to go. And then I'm there about an hour after with all the cleanup. So for an event, I might be there anywhere between 4 to 5 hours. But then prior to, there's the shopping time. So that might be an hour or two. I try to get really efficient on my stops because, you know, I frequent all the places now. It's not like I just go to one place to shop.
Right.
I go where there's the best value or has the best quality of what I want for whatever it is. So there may be an hour or two of shopping time, and then prep, like cooking prep. It could be an entire, you know, 8 or 9 hour day the day before getting things ready. So it's a lot.
Yeah. So who is your demographic target market that you're going after? And then the second part of that, where are you finding them right now?
Okay, so my ideal demographic, or where I find my most common client, is in the, I would say, 30 to 50 range. And I know that's pretty broad, but find that they have the disposable income to be able to hire me. And that they, you know, have sort of an entertaining lifestyle. That, you know, they're just the type that maybe, you know, both people in the household work, or they just work a lot of long hours. And I have people who enjoy cooking, they just don't have the time. And so that's where I fit. Or they really don't enjoy cooking, and that's certainly where I fit. But yeah, I mean, the demographic I was really hoping for really is panning out. That's who is hiring me. And it's great. I have a great local customer base. I have a lot of Briar Ridge clients. So between Munster, Schererville, St. John, that's really my core. And then I have a handful of good regular clients in the city who were former coworkers or just friends from when I lived in the city. And then, you know, a couple of their people that have hired me since. So it's a great network. And again, the word of mouth referral is my number one way of getting new business or people who just have attended an event I've done for somebody else. And right. then they'll ask me for a card before they leave or ask the whole, you know, can I get her number? And that usually is what happens.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before social media.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been big for you?
Yeah. I started a Facebook page immediately after I created Gourmet Goddess. And when it comes to food, I mean, people like to taste it or see it. So Facebook is great. And in the last 2 years, I actually started using Instagram much more than I had before. I really was just doing Facebook. But I do Instagram as well. And it's just a great way to show people what I do. I kind of got a little bit more into doing the live and the video because, you know, not everybody knows me. I mean, most of my followers do know me, but not everybody does. So it was a good way to put a face with what's going on, you know, on the stove. But I've gotten a good handful of jobs just from something I've posted that somebody saw that they thought looked good and really wanted. And also another part of my business is my homemade biscotti, which I brought you a little treat today. And that's really the first part of how Gourmet Goddess started was the biscotti because I started at holiday time.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I don't know how quickly this, the whole thing will pick up with me coming in and doing dinners or parties for people. So let me just make my family recipe of biscotti and see what happens with it. And it's going.
So that was the revenue at the beginning.
And it's still pretty strong. It's about 30% of what I do.
Okay.
So I can't get rid of it.
And do you make that at your house?
No, I actually work out of the kitchen that's in the Indiana Welcome Center in Hammond there, right by the expressway.
Yeah.
I have a handful of stores locally that carry the biscotti. So nice. Anything that's for public consumption has to be done in a commercial kitchen. So that part of my business, I do rent kitchen time, space, whatever you want to call it, from them. And they're a great partner. I pretty much have access to it whenever I need it. And so I produce it all there.
So what retail locations are you in?
I have Tasty Olive Company in Highland, Charcuterie in Griffith, Old World Market in Valparaiso. I have a couple of stores up in Wisconsin, and I have a store in Barrington,
Very
Illinois.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, and the Welcome Center itself, they carry it there. I'm like, I know I'm forgetting somebody.
So going back 5 years to when you first started,
mm-hmm.
is there any one big piece of advice you would give yourself if you could do something differently?
I wouldn't do anything differently, but I just would tell myself, be ready to work harder than you've ever worked in your life and like it some days, most days I'm like, okay, if I have to make another Parmesan herb cheese straw, I'm going to hurt somebody, but for the most part, it's good. I don't think I've ever worked harder just because, you know, I'm doing everything, marketing, trying to find new clients, producing, packaging, selling biscotti, going to market events, setting up the market event, doing all the cooking. I mean, it's everything. But then you also have the final say over everything that you do or don't do.
Right. So. And I think that's one of the big misnomers in business. It's not easy.
No, it's not. And I feel
it's not easy, and you're not a millionaire right away either.
Oh, hell no. I just started paying myself maybe in the last 6 months.
Exactly.
I mean, as long as the business was taking care of itself and I didn't have to put any more money into it, feeling good. But
exactly.
Yeah, that paycheck doesn't come for quite a while.
Oh. Any book, podcast, seminar that you've recently had any big aha moments from or that you've been able to implement?
I've just recently started listening to podcasts more often. There is a gal by the name of Carrie. I can't remember her last name, but she's from London. She's a British gal, but she has a whole series and a book called She Means Business. So it's great for, you know, the female entrepreneur, not that the fellows out there might not find some benefit. But I feel like there's all of this sort of like lady boss, girl power, female entrepreneur energy going on. And I'm also participating. I'm going to be participating as an attendee, but also doing some things in terms of business for a local event called Found and Shared. And that is being organized by Pam Dennis, who actually organizes Fetching Market, which is a great local market that has really been a great boost for my business. But Pam herself is a great businesswoman. And so she has organized this entrepreneurial workshop, really geared mostly towards women business owners who have an idea or might be thinking of something and just need a little encouragement or a little push in the right direction. But for me, it's just been getting to know a lot of my fellow entrepreneurs in the area that really, there's a lot of them. It's just amazing. It's such a great network of people that I never would have met had I not started Gourmet Goddess.
Yeah. There's just since I've started this, the people that I've met, it's like, okay, right. They're everywhere.
Right. And it's great because I don't sense any competition with anybody. Everyone really wants to try and collaborate and help each other move forward to the next place, make it easier, you know, share stumbling blocks they've had or successes that they've had to try and help the next person.
And you're not the first person to say that, which is good.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really a nice feeling. And it's been a whole sort of new group of friends. I mean, I really do call a lot of these people my friends because you see them at markets, you're out and about, you're trying to think like, oh yeah, so-and-so could really benefit from, you know, having small town coffee in their shop, or if they're needing somebody, I'm going to recommend small town because I know them and their stuff's great. So,
right.
You know, you just want to help boost the other person.
Yeah, exactly. So this Found and Shared, is this the first one that they're doing?
Yes, this will be the first one, and it's in September.
Okay.
And hopefully.
Is it local?
It's local. It's actually going to be held at the Welcome Center in one of their conference rooms.
Okay.
So I know Pam's goal would be for it to be a great success and maybe offer them twice a year, bring in some different speakers, but she's got some great speakers lined up to really give, you know, either seasoned folks or people really looking to start something and not know where to start, you know, a good shove in the right direction.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the different resources that are available. If you really look, there's a lot of them out there.
Right.
And being able to go and attend them locally is even better.
Right. And that's the thing, too. I mean, I keep my eyes open for lots of stuff in the city because, of course, we're close. But it's always nice to be able to support something local. And I really haven't seen anything like what Pam is putting together offered right here in our own backyard. So the less we have to travel to get to something like that, the better.
Excellent.
So I'm excited for that.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of business, anything particular occupy your time?
Oh, if I had time. I really do enjoy reading. I'd love to be able to get out and travel a bit more, but everything I do is around food. I was sharing before we started, I went into the city last night with my husband, and we went to a private garden tour of Rick Bayless's garden in his home in the city that is used to supply all of his restaurants, or at least two of the big ones. But that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So it's always around food.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what your passion is, that's, you know.
Right. It's good stuff.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything I haven't asked that you want to mention, bring up?
Probably not. I think I've covered it all, and hopefully people get a good sense of my personality. But I just want to be able to help people have a nice experience for their event. I'm hopeful by the nature of my personality, people feel comfortable having me into their home because I never take that lightly. I mean, being in someone's home and in their kitchen is really kind of a personal thing. But what my business is a very personal business. So I always go and try to meet any of my new clients who I've not met before. Even if they were at a party that I did and I didn't physically meet them, I always come and sit down with them and just chit chat, talk about menu, whatever it is, just so that there is that comfort level and people feel confident having me come into their home and take care of their event. So
yeah,
it's really important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the trust and relationship factor.
Yep, Absolutely.
Very cool. Thanks. So just to wrap up, how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Best way is just call me, 773-502-7765, and that is a Chicago number, but I'm right here in Munster. Email, and or you can message me on Facebook. I check it all regularly. My husband sometimes is like, Jesus, who are you talking to or messaging at 9 o'clock? But I'm on top of it. I'm very responsive. That's one thing I learned in my prior business life. I get back to people. I want them to know that I've heard from them and that I am paying attention to what they need, and we'll get back to them. So phone, email, messenger, any of it works.
Very cool. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.